Happy New Year, guys. How are you? Good. Well, thank you. Let's have a personal conversation with everybody in the room. That's nice. I'm glad you're here today. Next week, everything changes a little bit. Next week, we begin having three services at church. And so the 9 o'clock service moves back to 8:45. So you guys only have a 15-minute adjustment. For some of you, you're like, are you kidding me? 15 minutes is everything to me. Well, you may have a bigger problem. You may want to go to bed a little bit earlier, you know, but it's just a small adjustment in time. But we need to make room for three services. The second service is at capacity. We're running about 90% in that second service. And in first service and second service, our kids ministry is running at about 80% capacity right now. And so it is beginning to get really tight. And if we don't add additional services, we are going to, although we may have seats in this room, we're running out of space in our kids ministry. And so those three services will balance out, hopefully that. And so our new times is 8:45, 10:30, and 12:15. And so if you're a person who likes to do brunch, it's a great time to do brunch and then come to church, or however you want to do it. But anyway, I want to encourage you to check out one of those new times. Obviously, it's easy for you guys, just a 15-minute adjustment. But if you get here at the regular time next week, you will have missed a good portion of the service, and you'll feel like one of those late bus arriver people. And so just trying to give you a heads up with that. So last week, Chris talked with us as he closed the year out. He talked to us, and he reminded us that we are ambassadors for Jesus. And what that means is that as an ambassador, God is using us to make an appeal to those people to not only to explore a relationship with God, but also to come back to God. So there are some that just need to follow God. They've never done it, and they go through life confused and frustrated. And our responsibility as an ambassador is to teach them and show them there's a better way, the relationship found through Jesus Christ. But in addition to an ambassador, we're there to kind of smooth things over and kind of help restore some relationships, because sometimes people have bad encounters with Christian people, bad encounters with church in general, or bad encounters with religion in general, and that paints a broad brush over God, and some people feel like, I don't need that anymore, and they step back. And so there's a difference between following God and stopping following God. I'm not saying that they are apostates in terms of wandering away from the faith, but maybe they're just like, you know what, I just don't need that right now. And as ambassadors, we're there to kind of encourage people to say, get back into that relationship with God. And so as an ambassador, not only are we there to encourage people to learn and explore who Jesus is, but we're also there to help them come back to God. And it says that in God's word that Christ is making his appeal through us. It's a crazy thing. Wrap your mind around that for a minute. That God has chosen to make his appeal to mankind through us, the church, Christians. That's his job. That's the job that he's assigned to us as an ambassador. That means for us, not just individually, but collectively as a church, that you and I are living testimonies of this hope and faith that we hold so dear in our heart. We're living testimonies of the power of what God can do. We're living testimonies of a life change that God can offer. And so how important is it that our lives collectively and individually are having a good impact and a good influence and good testimony to those around us? As we start off this new year, it's important for us to be thinking that not only do we have a personal relationship with God, but we have an ambassador relationship with God. In addition to that ambassador relationship, there's actually two other types of relationships that we experience. One is that God calls us his children. You know that, right? It's easy. We love songs about that. We love to sing songs about God being a good father, and we love to recognize that father relationship that we have with God. And in addition to being God's children, 2 Timothy refers to us as soldiers for Christ. So not only are we ambassadors, and not only are we children, but we're soldiers. As children, we get to know the Father by knowing him more, and by exploring him, and by praying, and through reading our word, and to trying to get deeper in understanding, by experiencing God at work in our lives. We get to know God more as his children. We get to see him lead us and guide us. As Shelley was saying this morning, that's just one of the great things about our relationship with God, is he does give us direction and wisdom. But we also see God as a loving Father who protects us and provides for us. We also see God as a loving Father that also transforms and changes us. And when we surrender and cooperate with that transformation, it can be easy. And when we resist that cooperation and we don't want to follow the correction of God, It can be a little more painful. And just like children with discipline with their father, it's the same kind of thing. So we're ambassadors, so we're making the appeal. We're children, we have this great father relationship, and God's caring for us and providing for us. But we're also soldiers, as 2 Timothy says. You see, we work together as soldiers, as a team, and we are waging war against the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom. Satan doesn't want people to understand who Jesus Christ is, and so our job is to wage war against that and to join the collective battle of soldiers, Christian soldiers, who are moving on to be able to help win the lost, to be able to convince and persuade people that there is a better way, there is a greater hope, there is forgiveness of sins, there is a way for sinful people to be reunited with the holy God. It's a great responsibility. But it is, in fact, God's word refers to it as a soldier. So we are on some battleground, and it is a dangerous place in which we serve. And see, these roles that we have, whether it's an ambassador, whether it's a child of God, or whether it's a soldier, these aren't different hats that we wear. These are simultaneous, constant roles that never change within us. So as children, we're always in the process of being transformed and cared for and provided for by our loving God. You with me so far? So as ambassadors, our job is to always be persuading others into being the best representation of Jesus Christ on this earth so that we are not a hindrance to anyone discovering and experiencing the true love that God has. But as soldiers, we're forever a part of the ongoing work of the kingdom of God, that constant battle trying to make sure that this world is not lost and this world does not suffer an eternal damnation separated from God in a place called hell. We are fighting for those souls as a soldier fights. And those three hats, a child hat, an ambassador hat, and a soldier hat, just for an example to kind of put it on our terms, think of it this way. A small business owner hires their child. So you're the owner of a business, and so you hire your child to work for you. That could be a bad idea. But nonetheless, follow me with this logic for a second. So as that child, you are not only the child of the owner, but you and that owner is going to treat you a little differently, right? I mean, you know the nepotism situation there. And so that father is going to give them a little more help, going to give them more support. It's going to protect them when they make mistakes. Going to provide for them in ways that they probably didn't earn and deserve. There's some type of relationship that happens as a child working for a parent. But in addition to that child working for a parent, they still have a job to carry out. And that child then is a part of the workforce. They're the soldier, so to speak, of the organization. There's still a job that must be done. And if you were hired, even though you're my son or you're my daughter, you still have to do this job. And if I tell you got to clean the toilets, you got to clean the toilets, right? You're like, Dad, you know, I mean, but you get me. So not only are you a child, but you're part of the workforce. You're a soldier. But in addition to that, you're an ambassador. Every time you're out to dinner or anytime you're at a client's location or you're trying to sell your product to whoever it is, you represent the organization as a whole. So you're a child to the parent, you're a workforce, but you're also a representative of the organization. So think of Christianity much like that in terms of that. We all have these simultaneous responsibilities, and the hats change slightly depending on who we're dealing with and what our responsibility is, but it's constantly happening. It's a never-ending thing. It is who we are. So I want you to write down in your message notes somewhere these three things. We're his ambassadors, we're his children, and we're his soldiers. Write that down. We're his ambassadors, we're his children, and we're his soldiers. And since this is true, then our testimony must reflect all three. The way we live our lives must be representative of those three things of who we are. Are you understanding? You're tracking with me? I know it's a new year. Come on, stay with me. It's important. We're going to dive into some scripture, and this is important for you to build upon. And so if this is the truth, is that we are ambassadors, his children, also soldiers, and we have responsibilities to represent those relationships well, this is huge for us. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And we're going to see, since we are those witnesses. As a church today, we're a crowd of witnesses. So we are people who hold on to this thing we call faith, and we have a responsibility to have a good testimony and a good character, being able to be a good ambassador for God, being able to be a good child of the Father, being obedient to his changes and the surrender of those things he wants. But in addition to that, we're a soldier. We're fighting with him and for him for the battle of the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. And so we are that crowd of witnesses. And follow me here. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, Everyone's watching us as well. So not only are we those people with those strong testimonies, but we have people who are staring at us and wondering, is this real? Is this authentic? Is this worth following? So therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses of the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, drags us down, if you will, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So we need to set aside every weight that slows us down, and especially any sin in our life that easily trips us up. What does tripping us up mean? Some of your translations will say knock you down. Some of your translations will say it knocks you off balance. Or so the sin that so easily besets you, which doesn't make a lot of sense in a lot of translations. It doesn't make sense to the understanding. Understand this, that there are sins in our lives that will knock you down. There are weights and things that you carry in your life that are slowing you down to make you ineffective. As a child of God, as an ambassador of God, and as a soldier of God, there are certain things that you cannot carry around in your life and be effective in the roles and responsibilities that we have. We have to set aside those weights. In addition to that, any sin that's not consistent with our child relationship, with our soldier relationship, with our ambassador relationship, those things are going to trip us up and keep us from being effective on this regard. As soldiers, he continues to say, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. What's the race? Is it the human rat race? No, it's not the human rat race. But it's our responsibility for reaching the world for Christ. As a child of God, as an ambassador of God, as a soldier for God, we cannot let our sins or those heavy weights that we carry around in our life that are dragging us down, knocking us out, tapping us out, causing us to fail, keeping us off balance. We can't keep those things in our life and be effective in the responsibility and roles that we have as a child of God. So let me ask you a question. Looking back at this last year, the series is called Mirror, Mirror. So we're going to look first of all in a rearview mirror. Just look back a little bit into 2018. And as a child of God, what are those heavy weights and sins that continued to plague you last year and possibly the year before that and possibly the year before that? What is it in your life that you would consider a heavy weight, a burden for you, or a familiar sin that you know needs to be eradicated and changed? As a child of God, when you spend time with your Father, it's those things that you know are harming you, and those things that you know are harming your family, and those things that are hindering you from reaching your fullest potential as a child. You know that God would love you to do this, but you can't because you have this in your life, and you're like, I could never be this for God because I have this in my life. What are these things, when you look in the rearview mirror, that you would say, yeah, that's a spot I need to change. That's a spot I need to adjust. There's a place that I'm carrying a heavy weight that I shouldn't carry. This is a place that I'm carrying a sin around that is really knocking me down and having more of a progress of keeping me down than ever me getting anywhere. Two steps forward, three steps back. It's just one of those situations. As a child of God, what are those heavy weights and those sins that are creating obstacles for you to fulfill God's plan for your life? Looking back in the rearview mirror as a child of God, that's the lens I want you to see. But also in addition to that, as ambassadors and soldiers in the kingdom of God, what are those heavy weights and sins that are keeping your testimony and your influence from being most effective for God? You see, the lenses and the hats are the same. We're both the same. We're ambassadors and soldiers. We're children. As children, what are those things that are hindering your relationship with God, messing up and harming your life, slowing you down, hindering you from accomplishing what God would have you do, messing up your family? What are those things also as ambassadors and soldiers? Those same things bleed over into our influence and our effectiveness in being a soldier and ambassador for God because our testimony is hindered when these things aren't in order. You see, what we've just looked at together is collectively the things that make this list in the room today. As you're thinking those things through, those are precisely the same things that you made New Year's resolutions about to fix, chances are. Chances are the areas that you stayed awake late on the 31st of this year and you decided, you know what, boy, when I get to January 1st, I'm going to make this adjustment. I'm going to do this thing. It has everything typically to do with those heavy weights in your life that you want gone, And those sins and hang-ups and habits and addictions in your life that you wish to God were gone. And so those things, because you know they're slowing you down, and you know that they are beating you up and knocking you down, and they're keeping you from succeeding. They are constantly tripping you up. They're keeping you off balance. Those are what New Year's resolutions are made up of. And as a child of God, as an ambassador of God, and as a soldier of God, it's important for us to solve these areas of life. It's not just a personal preference or a goal that I'm going to establish. We need to begin looking at our resolutions or those things that we want to change, those sins that are besetting us and making us fall down, those things in our lives that are slowing us down and hindering us. We have to look at those more seriously and recognize it's not just me that this is affecting, but it is affecting my role, not only as a child of God, but it's affecting me as an ambassador and as a soldier. And that's why we don't have joy in our life, because we're so frustrated. That's why we don't experience the joy that is offered in salvation, because we're feeling always guilty and always like we're on our back foot. We're always trying to regain our balance or start again in our faith. Is that we've got to get this stuff in priority. So whatever it is in your rearview mirror of 2018 that you know is a heavyweight or a sin in your life that must be dealt with, it is time for you to deal with that once and for all, not just for your benefit, because you are not changing it for your benefit alone, otherwise you would have. But look at it from a bigger perspective and realize there's a lot at stake. I have a responsibility. It's important for me to change this. So listen what it says in the same verse. We're going to read a second, same verse, but emphasize a different word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off. Let us strip it off. Every weight that slows us down. Every weight that's dragging you down. Especially the sin that so easily trips you up and knocks you down. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. It's time to strip it. Some of your translations say, lay it aside. I love the way the NLT says this. It's stripping it off, because that stripping off process, it is not necessarily an always easy process. When you have something stripped off, think of like a Band-Aid, or you got duct tape on your arm. Well, it's going to hurt to get this off. Sometimes it's like, is it a fast reveal, or is it just kind of a slow and we're going to put liquid on it? I don't know, but depending on what God's needing to do in your life, here's the key to having stripping off not be so painful. If we come to God with hands wide open and surrender to say, you know what, God, change me, transform me, no matter what it is that you want to do, especially in these areas that are heavyweights for me or sins that are so easily knocking me down, Father, will you please take them? Change me and shape me. Figure out what it is, and I want to be a participant. I want to cooperate with you. It's in that period of time that stripping off is an easier thing. But there are also things in your life that are harming you and harming your family. There are weights in your life that you're carrying that are far greater than you know that you should be carrying or even messing with. And God will correct us and discipline us. And those types of stripping off are often painful, because God will allow calamity into our lives in order for us to be awakened to the sense that we have to do something about the sin that is dragging us down, and the sin that is knocking us off our feet, and the weights that we're carrying that we shouldn't ever have carried in the first place. Wow. Starting the year off with a big rock. But I know that it's on your mind. It's on my mind. Why is it that year after year we still struggle with the same things? And is there a way? And I believe there is, biblically. I believe there's a biblical solution for you and I to tackle our toughest resolutions this morning. So here's what I'm doing. I'm going to apply this year, what I'm teaching to you. In those key areas of my life that I have the same as you do, we all have different things. But my plan is to already put this in place. It's already in place in my life. I've already been working on this for several days in preparation, even for this message. But I believe that God is going to honor that, and I believe he can honor it in your life too. The question is this. The new year's come. It is 2019. We waited for this day to come. How are you doing on the things that you've already said you wanted to change? Or were you saying, well, I'll wait till Sunday now. Sunday is technically the first Sunday of the year. That's when I'm going to spend a lot of time with God. And so we still had family in town. That was our situation. Like, family didn't leave till the 4th, so, like, our New Year's wasn't over. Are you with me? Anyone else? Okay, so, and so I'm like, all right, so this weekend is, like, the technically beginning of the year, you know, kind of thing, you know. It'll just be next weekend, too, if there's something cool happening right now. So this is the weekend, right? This is the moment. So here it is, 2019. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to do the same thing that you've done every year before? Were you going to recognize that you need to change? You need to recognize, I already know that's a heavy weight. I already know that's the sin that seems to always knock me down. That's the familiar sin in my life. These are the things I know. I know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time even thinking about it. I know what they are. So you have already recognized it. You already made a resolution to change it. So what are you going to do? Are you just going to ignore it and forget it and quit again and give yourself another delayed goal? Or are you just going to forget about it? Just going to quit? As a child of God, as an ambassador of Jesus, and as a soldier in the army of God, what are you going to do? Are you going to go back to the same ways before and ignore the behavior? Or are you going to move forward? James 1 says this, and I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, how foolish it is for a man to look into a mirror and see his own reflection, and yet step away and forget what he looks like. That's what New Year's resolutions are for many people in the room, and I need it and I want it for you to stop. As a child of God, as an ambassador of God, and as a soldier of God, it's time for that to stop. When you and I look into the mirror and we see those heavy weights and those sins that so easily beset us, it's time for us to get busy working on them and not just walk away from the mirror, turn another page of the calendar, and act like those things don't exist in your life. So what will you choose to do this year? Are you willing and are you prepared to strip it off? Are you willing and prepared to set aside every weight that's slowing you down? Are you willing and prepared to do the hard work and the heavy lift to do that? Are you willing and are you prepared to allow God to transform you by changing the way you think and to get you to stop doing that sin that you are so constantly coming back to God asking for forgiveness with great brokenness? Are you at a place where you're ready and prepared to do that? Or will you look at it, recognize it, like you're looking into a mirror, and then walk away and do nothing? That decision's really up to you. If you're ready to take it seriously, well, here's, I think, the solution. The first thing you need to recognize, write this down, this is war. The thing that you're dealing with, I want you to recognize that this is war. This isn't just a habit. This isn't just a hang-up. This isn't just a weight. This isn't just a problem. It's war. And why I call it war is because as a child of God, it is a war for you. Here's how I know that. Because for you, it's something that you continually put effort and energy to succeed and conquer the battle, and you get your butt kicked every time you try to do it. It's that one thing that you're like, I just can't seem to fix it. I can't seem to solve it, no matter how hard I fight it. Does that feel like a war to you? Maybe you already know it's a war for you. As a soldier of God, it's a war because you're not only fighting against those things in flesh and blood, but you're fighting against the principalities of darkness. We're fighting against things that we can't even see. And the reality is that our testimony and our influence, when these things are corrected, has a lot of power. And the more that your testimony has power, who do you think doesn't like that? Satan doesn't like that. So the more that you and I are trying to fix and change those heavy weights and those sins that so easily beset us, and the more confidence that we get, and the stronger that we get, and the greater our influence gets, Satan says, I've got to take you down. And he works harder and harder and harder to knock us down. Doesn't it make sense that it's not just necessarily about willpower and desire? Maybe it has more to do with the fact that your platform will get bigger, your influence will grow, your opportunities will get better, your family will become saved if they can actually see that the power of God is transforming and changing your life. It's a war. So call it that. Look at it differently. Put your shoulders back and get angry at it and say, you know what? I'm tired of it. It's a war. It's a battle. I need to prepare for the battle. So not only do we recognize it's a war, but we have to recognize this. Write this down. Number two, you can't do this on your own. This is a war, and you can't do it on your own. You already know that because you failed so many times before. Hebrews 12:2 tells us how we do this, because we can't do it alone. So Hebrews 12:2 says this: we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Who does the writer of Hebrews call Jesus? The champion. We do this. You and I can succeed in this war, in this battle, not in our own strength, but by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, the one who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. Jesus, our champion, is in the battle. He has worked hard. He has done the hard work, and he endured the cross. He took some damage. He got hit. He got wounded. He got beat, but he continued to fight. He disregarded the shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor on God's throne. Write this down. You are fighting a war. You can't do it on your own, and write this down. You need a champion. If you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this is a key ingredient that you need to put inside your life. You need to invite him to be your forgiver. You need to invite him to be your leader. As Steve was talking this morning during our prayer time, such an essential thing, placing our faith in Jesus Christ, taking hold of this beautiful grace that he has to forgive us, but also to be the leader of our life, to be the protector of our life, to be the guide of our life, to be the provider of our life, to be the person who wants to transform us and discipline us and correct us. I invite you to that relationship, because although it is a difficult thing sometimes to allow God to transform and change us, there is incredible joy when you recognize the God of the universe is actively involved in your life. You cannot do this alone. You are in a war, in a battle way over your heads. You're in a personal battle and a spiritual battle. You need a champion. Every battle, every war, every historical war that we've ever seen, there's always a champion, there's always a hero, there's always a general, there's always that one person that you can say, man, even though he was wounded, he was the one we watched, he was the one that rallied the troops, he was the one that helped us accomplish it. You're in a war and you can't do it alone. Thankfully, you have a champion for those who are believers. But even though you have a champion, you need to recognize this. It's not going to be easy. Write that down. It's not going to be easy. I'm not saying this is an easy thing that you're in, because war is never easy. This isn't some game that you're playing. This is a reality that you're trying to face. And just like you need that champion in your life, that champion is never going to back down from the battle. Your champion is always going to be proactive and help you, guard you. The champion is always going to be there to give you a way of escape when you're tempted. The champion is always going to be there to be strategic with you and to help you be strong and to give you the precise steps that you need to take. The champion is always there fighting for you. But the champion also, not only will he fight for you, but he's demanding the best from you along the way. Any great general, any great champion, they're not just a one-man show. They're relying on the team. And they're the ones saying, man, that you've got to work harder. You've got to do more. And so God is our champion that's fighting for us, but he's also encouraging us and telling us to do it. And he has the authority to do it because he's the one that led by example. Look what it says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Keep reading. Think of all the hostility that Jesus endured from sinful people. I want you to think about that when your struggle gets hard. I want you to think about what Jesus endured as your champion and his demonstration to you that he understands the difficulty ahead. He had to endure the cross, but yet he endured the shame. He endured the torture. He endured all those things because he had his mind on the understanding of what the greater good is as a son of God and as a savior. Verse 3, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not given your lives against your struggle against sin in this way. What he's trying to say is the things that you're struggling in, the sins of your life, you have yet to struggle like Jesus has struggled for the things that he stood up for and did and did in his life. So put that in perspective. a lot of times we look at resolutions, these optional things that I can just kind of put off for a few, maybe, you know, days, and then the next weekend, like we were joking around, but maybe it's not so much of a joke. Maybe this battle that you are fighting, this thing that is so dragging you down and slowing you down, this thing that is knocking you off your feet and kicking you and tripping you up constantly, these sins in your life, these weights in your life, maybe there's a bigger problem than just your personal happiness. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador for Jesus, and you're a soldier. And so when we fight this war that we're in, this thing that we must correct and we must change so that our influence and effectiveness of our testimony as a soldier can be better and our influence as an ambassador can be better and our love for God can be deeper, as you and I are fighting to get better, we need to realize, yes, it is going to be hard. It is not going to be easy. But when it gets hard, we look to God and thank him for what he endured and ask him to help me endure the hardship and the transformation. And that means that we have to strip off the weights and sins that slow us down. Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready to make a big difference when you walk out of these doors today? Are you ready to adjust it? Because remember, it's a war. The battle's going to be hard. Fixing this is going to take a lot out of you. It's going to take a lot of energy and planning. It's going to take some creativity. It's going to take putting protections and guardrails in your life. It's going to mean that you got to put your head and your heart in what you're doing to fix this 100%. Even if you're wounded, even if you're hurt, even if you're knocked down. But your champion's going to call for you to train and prepare. Your champion's going to want you to develop new skills to be able to handle and get through what you're dealing with. Your champion wants you to get rid of your old habits because those are weighing you down. The champion wants you to sit down those heavy weights because you got to run faster to keep up with the work that he's doing. You will need to transform the way you think, and you will be tired. And 100% be confident of this, you will be attacked. Because the enemy does not want your influence and your effectiveness for the kingdom of God as a soldier to be any better than it is today. Because right now, some of you are totally neutral to the kingdom of darkness. You're not making a dent in the difference there. And Satan's happy with that. And if his tool to keep you there is to keep that heavy weight on you or that sin that's knocking you down involved in your life, that's easy for him to do. Especially if you're not proactively fighting it as you would be fighting a war. It's tough stuff. I know. I'm talking to you today as a soldier, but I have not forgotten the fact that you're a child of God. Nor has God, in this passage of Scripture, he tees up just a beautiful encouragement to our hearts, starting in verse 5 and going through 11. And it says, have you forgotten the encouraging words that God spoke to his children? My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Especially don't give up. This is going to be hard. This discipline, this change you're making, it's going to be hard. But as a loving father talks to his son, to his child, he says, don't give up. Don't give up when he corrects you. Verse 6, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one that accepts his child. And as you endure his divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who has ever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does his own children, it means that you're illegitimate and that you're not really one of his children at all. So we should welcome these changes. We should welcome this struggle. I know you're kicking against it and hate it and want it gone, but let's welcome it. We're in a war. Yeah, that stinks. But man, let's welcome it because God wants to do a work inside our lives. And it's for our benefit, verse 9. And since we've respected our earthly fathers who discipline us, well, shouldn't we just submit more to the discipline of the Father of our spirit and live forever? For our earthly father discipline is for just a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. You see, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But there will always be a peaceful harvest of right living. It always reaps good results in our lives for those who are trained in this way. So again, are you ready? In about 8 minutes, our service ends. Are you ready? Are you ready to walk out this door with a battle perspective? say, this is not a game anymore. Serious. I'm going to deal with it once and for all and strip off those things that are dragging me down and making me stumble and knocking me out of the game. Are you ready to do whatever it takes? Maybe you're not. If you're being honest with yourself, you're like, I love what you're saying, but you don't understand. I am tired of trying. I am tired of taking on this battle. This battle is hard. I've never succeeded, and I always fail. Therefore, I don't know if I got another attempt in me. That's an honest answer for some of you. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Prepare for the war by praying and fasting and approaching God and saying, God, if this in fact is not only important just to me, because maybe for me, God, I don't really care if this ever changes. I've kind of accepted this is the way who I'm going to be. Maybe that's what you're thinking. But God, if there's a greater testimony, if there's a bigger responsibility I have as your soldier, if there's a bigger responsibility I have as your ambassador, will you just light a fire in me to join the battle and fight the war again? I encourage you to ask God in that prayer time to renew your mind and to renew your strength. So are you ready for the battle? I'm going to give you four quick things and then we're going to go home. Prepare for the war logically. You want to learn from your past mistakes. You need to determine and analyze where you failed before. You do not always drive through that same pothole in your neighborhood. Why? Because you know it exists. So logistically, logically, I want you to think, what are the things in my path that I know are going to trip me up and knock me down? Proactively is the next step for you. Understand your weaknesses and then fortify those weaknesses. You know where you're weak, so identify them, think about them. Because your enemy knows where you're weak, and guess where your enemy wants to attack? Your weaknesses and not your strengths. Pragmatically, the next one. Learn from the experts. Study, educate yourself. Understand what's worked for other people. Understand the risks that are there. Pragmatically, like it says in Proverbs 27, the prudent, they see danger and they make plans to avoid it. But the simple, they run and suffer harm. Think about it. Where have others taken a different path and had success? Read, understand, go to a support group, get counseling. Go to an addiction recovery group. Get help if you need it. But just understand, how have people gotten out of this and follow their path? And finally, persistently, never surrender. You can't quit. No one has ever won a war by surrendering. And you have to surrender minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, even when you have a setback. You keep going. But how do I do it? You do it by keeping your eye on your champion, Jesus. Every minute, every hour, every day of this battle that you and I are facing. And it won't be easy, and you're going to get tired, and you're going to want to give up. And so here I'm going to leave you with one last scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. It's not going to be easy, so here's what you do. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. I know it's getting hard. But you get a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weakened knees. Prepare for the war. God's word says, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees and mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. There are others who are watching you right now to see, are you going to conquer? Your children are watching to see, are you going to make this adjustment? Are you going to let go of this weight that's dragging you down and this sin that is knocking you out? You're setting a course. You're charting a path so those who will follow you will not fall also. Isaiah 40, 31 says that those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not grow faint. You're in a battle. You can't do this alone. You need a champion. it ain't going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to have to fight wounded. But you got to keep your eyes fixed on your champion day in and day out and realize I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador for Jesus, and I'm a soldier. I believe that when you solve this issue in your life, your best days, not only in your personal life, are ahead, but your best days of influence as a believer are ahead as well. Let's do this. You ready? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the confident hope that we have in your word. Thank you for the ability, God, that we can open your word and see right into our own souls, into our own lives, into our own experiences and our own deficits. Thank you, God, for allowing us the ability today to recognize that not only do we have these three roles of a child, ambassador, and soldier, but we have this beautiful, confident champion who's always there to help us fulfill each one. So, God, today, in this room, men and women, students are going to be placing their eyes fixed on you, acknowledging and recognizing that they're in a war that they can't win on their own. And with full dependence today, they say, this is the day it ends. This is the line that's been drawn. This is the moment in time that things are going to be different. This isn't just a New Year's resolution. This is a war, and I have a champion. Thank you for that confident hope. Let's stand together and sing our final song as we go home.